Hey everybody, welcome to our online worship service. My name is Josh Erickson and I'm one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. And I'm so excited to be with you, sharing with you today. We're gonna be looking at a passage of scripture that helps us understand why it's so dangerous to be judgmental of other people and why Jesus cautions us against it. So I hope our time is a blessing to you. And at the outset of our time together, I do want to make sure that you're aware that this will be my last time with you for a couple of weeks, 3 months in particular, because I'll be on sabbatical over the summer of 2025. And so I look forward to being back with you in September, and I hope that you have a great summer, and I hope that you'll pray for me as I'm on this journey of sabbatical over this summer. Well, now onto the far more important thing, our time together today. I have some serious regrets. And in particular, what I mean is I have some regrets about some of the things that I've done and said over the past 10 years that I've been the pastor, the senior pastor of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. And I could go through a list of mistakes that I've made, and then you'd be shocked at some of them. But I'm gonna narrow in on an area where I really think I need to do better, and that is being less judgmental. I can be a pretty judgmental person, and I've heard this for many years of my life, and I still haven't done enough to change this. Part of it's my personality. I'm just quick to think and quick to speak and not as quick to ponder and as not quick to listen, and so that's a whole part of it. But one of the things that I struggle with, and I know lots of people struggle with, is judging other people when we should not be judging them. And this is a struggle that I think is something that many of us have, and I wonder if it's not on more display right now because of so many changes and so many challenges and so many questions and so many history-making moments that we're kind of going through in these days. And because of that, I think we might be more prone to judge other people than we might have been in the past. And we got to be careful with that. Now, it's important in general civility and in general civilization that we're willing to be careful to not judge somebody. We know that it is important to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes to consider their perspective, and it's very important to do this in general. But if you are a follower of Jesus and you're trying to have a faith that makes a difference in your everyday life, then you need to be extra careful. Those of us that are followers of Jesus, we need to really heed the warning that Jesus gives us about the perils of judging people. Because if we don't, we can lose a sense of our connection to people, and we can lose a sense of being on the journey that Jesus wants for us, and we won't love people like God wants us to love them. Now, Jesus was known for telling stories, and one of the stories that he tells is about a family. And this particular family is a very famous one. And if you're ever looking through the Gospel of Luke, you can find this story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Now, this story is about a father that has two sons. And you may be familiar with the story, but you might be familiar with it because it's got a title. It's often known as the parable of the prodigal son. And I think that if we call it that, then we miss part of the value of the story and why it's so important for every single one of us. So let me tell you that story a little bit here. The story goes like this. There's a man that has the two sons, and the younger of the two sons, the younger brother, asks his dad to split up his inheritance and give him his inheritance ahead of his father's passing. This is really basically, as some commentators say, wishing that the father was dead. The son is basically saying to his dad, "You're dead to me, give me my inheritance now." Now, I imagine that the father is shocked at this and he's trying to just preserve the relationship, and he gives the kid the money that is coming to him. As the younger son, it might have been less money, but it was still impactful and still a lot. Now, unbeknownst to the father, the son has a plan. The son then gathers up all of his belongings, all of his money, and it says in the text that he goes off to a far country and squanders all of his money in derelict living. Code 4, he goes on a big trip somewhere out of the area and then spends all of his money and goes broke. Now, in biblical terms, what happens next is that there's a famine in the land, and I put that in quotes because there was a tragedy of some kind, and he is broke. He is destitute. And being a good Jewish kid, he then starts to try to figure out what he's going to do. And the only job available for him was to be a pig farmer. And for the Jews, they were not supposed to touch unclean animals such as a pig. And so this would have been the lowest of the low jobs that he could have had. And it says that he longed to fill his stomach with the food of the pigs. This is painting a picture that he can't get any lower than he's in. Then it says in the text that he comes to his senses and says, "Even my father's hired hands have food to spare." So the boy decides that he's going to go back to his dad and he's going to beg for his dad to give him a job back and take him back in as a worker because he knows he has no chance of coming back into the family. So he makes the journey back, and it says that then the father sees him coming, and while he's still a long way off, he recognizes that his son is coming, and he calls for his servants to prepare for a big feast. He says to kill the best animal that we have, the fattened calf, and throw a party. He runs out to meet him, and he brings him in, and they start a party. Now, don't forget that the younger brother had an older brother. And the older brother this entire time had stayed home and had been the good older brother. He'd been the good firstborn son. He stayed faithful to his dad. And you know what? He thought he was the best because he did what he was supposed to do. He did as he was told. He trusted his dad. He was part of the family business. And he was so thinking that he was superior to his brother. So that when he comes back in and he sees that this party is being thrown for his brother, who was the one who wished that his dad was dead, he was indignant. He was upset. He was so angry at his dad because he could not believe that his dad would do this. I'm sure he thought that his dad had fallen for a trick. I'm sure he thought something to the effect of like that his younger brother pulled one over on his dad. And he says to his dad, "I can't believe that you're throwing a party for the son of yours that you wished you dead. You wouldn't even give me a young goat to party with my friends, but here you are killing the best prime cut animal that we've got." And the father then comes to the son, the older brother, and says, "We have to rejoice because your brother was dead and now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found." Jesus tells this story to illustrate that we have to celebrate when people come back, and also that we should not judge them for the choices that they make, because God's going to welcome them back at any time. When Jesus tells one of these stories, there is an opportunity to not necessarily see ourselves in any one position, but to see ourselves in many places in this story. There's a vantage point to this where God wants us to understand, to see ourselves as the father, as the parent, as the mother who is going to welcome somebody back no matter what, to try to restore that relationship and help them survive when they need it. There's another place in this story where God wants us to remember that any one of us could be the younger son, and we can make mistakes. And we can make choices that otherwise people should never forgive us for, but God calls us to forgive people in all those circumstances. But there's also another spot that Jesus wants to make sure we are clear on, is that we do not want to act like the older brother. We don't want to be someone who is self-righteous and self-important and being indignant when we are celebrating someone who was lost and found, someone who was basically dead and then is alive again. Because that's the position, if we put ourselves in, we are going to fall flat on our faces and we make a mockery of ourselves. This particular story, when Jesus tells it, or as it's positioned in the Gospel of Luke, is preceded by two other parables where Jesus talks about a woman searching for a lost coin, or a shepherd going to seek the lost sheep, the one out of 100. But before all this, Jesus sets this triple story up by saying there were religious leaders, the religious elite, that could not believe Jesus would associate with people who were broken. With the phrases, the sinners and the tax collectors, meaning the people that nobody wanted to be friends with. They were judging them something fierce, and Jesus says, that's not how people of faith should act. That's not how we should act either. And he tells them these stories to show them what grace and love and acceptance really means. So I want to encourage all of us who might be prone to a sense of judging others to be those of us who are prone to being self-judgmental in the sense of how we look at other people's actions, rather to say that we are self-righteous and say to ourselves, that's not how God wants me to live. That's not how God wants me to treat others. Rather, God wants me to try to extend grace and understanding. Now, for many of us, we just simply need to remind ourselves that that could be me. And that might be enough. Just simply channel, I don't want to judge because it could be me. It might have been me. Maybe somebody's hearing some story and you're hearing one person be judgmental and another person be gracious because the judgmental person says, well, I would never do that. And the person who's showing grace and compassion says, I've done that. Or I know I make a different choice and that would be me. When we are able to have that framework, we have a better understanding of how God wants us to show grace and forgiveness to other people. Now, I want to close by telling you there's a particular place where, and it's a little funny, where I have been super judgmental about something. And I shared a version of this before, not on this service, but in person before. And I confessed that there was this Jesus junk poem, as people kind of say it, called Footprints in the Sand. And I used to think that that poem was just sort of a worthless little trinket. And one day I realized that it was actually a very salient and very sage piece of advice. Now, it's not in the Bible, but it does channel some values. And it's a reminder that God is always with us. But I want to offer a reframing of that that might help us remember that God doesn't want us to be judgmental. And so I want to invite you to hear this poem as a rewrite of the original, but one that might inspire us to hear a word, a reflection of what it means to love people and not judge them. One night, I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In some, I was alone, and in some, I was with others. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. At times, there were two sets of footprints, and at other times, more. In some scenes, the footprints looked the same. In other scenes, some footprints appeared to be deeper than others. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see that one set of footprints was indeed deeper than the others. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during my most trying periods of my life, the footprints sank deeper and deeper. Why, when I needed you most, were you not there for me?" The Lord replied, "The times when you see the deep set of footprints, those are the days when I carried others. And when you see the deepest ones yet, I was carrying you as well." Friends, we need to remember that God is carrying every single one of us. And some days, God is carrying us and we're walking alongside God. Some days, God is carrying others, but in many days, God is carrying all of us. And if God is going to be able and willing to carry all of us, then we should not judge others for being needing of God's grace and forgiveness. It's dangerous to judge one another. Let's not judge people, because when we do, we come up short on how God wants us to love others. Would you please pray with me? God, we thank you that you are a God who indeed is one who carries us in all moments of life. God, help us to remember that you carry us. Help us to remember that when you carry us, we need you, just as you need to be carrying others. We don't come from a place of superiority when we do this, God. Help us to remember that you are superior to all of us. And because of that, you carry each one of us when we need it. God, we thank you that you do not judge us. We're grateful that you do not hold our mistakes against us. And help us to not judge others, and help us to not hold the mistakes others make against them as well. Help us to be people who extend grace and hope and forgiveness to the people in our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen.